listening to the Ericade Radio Network. Good evening, and welcome to another hour of Amiga Retro Music.
And it's time for Amiga Flashback with your host, Demon. Nothing says retro can't be done with flair and showmanship. Just think donning a superhero costume, complete with a blinking faceplate, and then dancing to the rhythm of two Game Boys while giving the audience a wicked DJ performance. On today's episode, we meet retro artist and DJ Techman, who keeps the retro music spirit alive. Let's get started with his latest tune that was released a month ago, Enigma. Some serious Game Boy goodness.
We'll be right back.
As retro computing and gaming is making its comeback, so are the tunes from yesteryear. From C64 analog synth greatness, Atari tuning it up, and of course Amiga modules, the staple of this station. They're all great. But it's not just old stuff we heard before. There are many great artists out there who create new music on old systems or remix old tunes with new equipment. From Sweden comes Techman, who is one of those artists creating new tunes with old hardware, in this case Game Boys, and has recently released his latest album called Enigma. The Arcade Radio Network and Amiga Flashback extends a warm welcome to you. And how are things in those corona-laden days?
Hello, hello. Well, things are quite okay. I live in Gotland, out of Sweden, an island in the Baltic Sea. And things are a bit slow on the live scene, I would say.
Yeah, we see that a lot, many online things. But the good thing is you can go there even if you couldn't otherwise. So this, not all is lost.
No, definitely. And I've done a couple of gigs, and those have been great. And it's a new experience to listen to your own music and see your own show from a viewer's perspective, and you can like sometimes you like pre-record it or you do it live, and then you can just watch and see the chat, basically hear what people say during the show, and that's a really cool experience, actually. So that's new for me.
Yeah, I can guess. So you didn't have that much experience in the old days when it came to the demo scene, I guess.
No. Back in the 90s, actually, I started up with mod music in the early 90s. But then I moved on to like synth music and using, you know, new synthesizer equipment for quite a while, and worked with software. Then I've found my way back to chiptune later on.
I guess. So what's really your story with retro computers? Have you owned like Amigas, Ataris, C64s, what have you?
Actually, the C64 was my first computer.
Okay.
So I really wanted like a Nintendo. I had a Game Boy already, and I wanted a Nintendo or an Amiga. But my father was kind of cheap, you know, so he gave me a C64 with a floppy and final cartridge, and joystick. So I used that system, and I had loads of old games, and a really thick basic book.
Yeah, I know.
So that was
my
start.
Yeah, same here, actually. My first computer was a C64, and I read that thick basic book. It was something released by this company called No Batteries Included or something. It was custom.
Yeah, like a tutorial how you make a moving, like framed balloon or something.
Yeah.
Like that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, all right.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. Right, okay. So how did you get the idea to start composing on a Game Boy, and why?
Yeah, it was quite a long trip, actually. As I said, after I started up with music using mod software. I used synthesizers. Then I studied sound engineering. I started working with software professionally for quite a long time, both composing and DJ software. So I was really into software, and it was a lot to do on the work side. That also drained some of my, you know, energy. When I came home, I didn't want to like start up the computer, and it's also started, you know, to get annoying with all the updates, and the system was always, you know, evolving, and there was something not working. I felt the urge to, you know, go offline and use the closed system. and not work with indefinitely possibilities, you know, different effects and channels. I wanted, you know, to a really closed setup and, you know, find the creativity within the borders of that systems. So that was when I found my way to chip music. And I've been listening to, you know, I had the mod players, you know, at work annoying my colleagues. But then I, my first love was the Game Boy. That was my first system that I received. And I found out that people were, you know, using the Game Boy composing, and it was, you know, it was handheld and it intuitive. So I just, you know, started hacking the Game Boy and getting the software and started from there.
It's more fun for you to use the Game Boy to make the music than play the games, I guess.
Yes, nowadays. Of course, it's, you know, it's really fun to, you know, take out the old game like Tetris and Super Mario Land and all those games. But I wouldn't say that I play for a long time. It's like take it out for like 15 minutes or so. But I have quite a few Game Boys. I think I have like 12 ish.
Okay, collector then.
Yeah. And I've also held, you know, composing workshops. Every participant can get their own Game Boy and like use the hardware, because that's where the real feel and the love happens. You know this. I mean, you need to have the hardware as well. You can't use simulated Amiga. You need to have the proper hardware as well.
Yeah, it actually, in a way you do, because emulators cannot guarantee to sound right. Also, it doesn't really feel the same way, does it now?
No, it's definitely symbiosis between the hardware and the software, and you really you need to have both to get the magic going.
Yeah, I guess so. So about your creative process, if I may say so, I mean, how do you come up with and how do you make the tunes?
I when I compose using Game Boys, I compose everything on the Game Boy system. So I, you know, I only use the cross and BA, select start. That's my world when composing. And I use LSDJ. It's a tracker, 4-channel tracker software made for Game Boy by a Swede. And that's it's really intuitive and kind of loop based, and you chain the loops together to an entire song. So I usually start with like a rhythm or like a bass line, a loop, and build it from there.
Do you know how long the songs are going to be, or you just put up loop after loop after loop, and oops, it's half an hour now?
No, never. And what usually happens is I'm like in the process of making one song, and then I come up with this loop that's really good, but it doesn't fit the song that I'm making. So then I save down that to a new track and like erase all the old stuff and only keep that new loop that I really like and build up a new song around that.
Okay.
But of course you start from scratch as well many times. And I program the songs from bottom and up. I rarely, you know, take up my keyboard and play and come up with like a melody beforehand. I start with the programming.
Okay, so it's a programming challenge more than a musical one, or?
Yeah, of course. I mean, they go hand in hand, of course. But I find that I often come up with more interesting melodies, and especially from a more technical aspect, you know, programming wise, you can do more, you know, with silencing or chopping up or setting envelopes and all that at the same time as you come up with the like melody, instead of just, you know, doing a nice, really nice melody on the keyboard.
I went to your Facebook site and I immediately recognized your outfit from various demo parties. Most recently, it was displayed on the Syntax Error Halloween here in Sweden. So let me ask you, what's up with this Dead Mouse style persona, or is it some kind of superhero?
Well, you're onto something there. Actually, I didn't have a plan that Techman would be full on stage experience with a like cyborg robot, lasers and LEDs and screens scrolling on the suit and all that. That wasn't the plan. The plan was from the beginning just music. Then when I started making chiptune, I immediately recognized that this is not only composing, this is hacking software in some extent, and also hacking the hardware, because I mean the old gaming systems, they're not made for music quality, so you need to, you know, help them extract the audio signal from before these noisy components, take them out straight from the chip many times, and maybe filter it with some new equipment. So I mean, they're not made for music, and that's where like the physical mechanical hacking happened, and that became a big part of my hobby, actually.
Yes, I think it's marvelous, really. It's a great video. I hope that we can put some kind of link to it, if I can find it somewhere.
And this evolved into, you know, when I started hacking the hardware, then I felt like, hey, I think I can do something more. And when I started getting these invitations for gigs, I felt like, I need to evolve this. I need to make it more interesting, because as I said, I've worked in like the music industry, music technology industry, and I've seen many live shows and worked with many DJs, for example. So I felt that if I'm gonna do shows, I want to do it all out, and I want to do it my way. So I found this connection. You know, with like gaming, and in games there's superheroes, so I felt that Techman should become a superhero, and I started building a suit and made him like a stage persona.
It's a great plan there, but I must ask you, what do you work with in your civil life, so to speak?
I'm a business developer for a couple of websites, actually.
Okay.
Nowadays, but I started out working as product manager for different audio related brands in the Nordic region, as brands like Native Instruments, Ableton Live, stuff like that, and DJ stuff, and music creation stuff, basically.
Okay, you're not thinking about joining some demo group or?
I had some connections back in the days. I'm from Falun in Dalarna, Sweden. Mm-hmm. Back in the days, you know, we had our own gang, but I was never really active.
Okay.
That never happened. And when I started, you know, like doing chiptune, I've already like moved away a couple of times and ended up in Visby. So I didn't have my old friends anymore. So and as as life goes, being a father for two sons, you don't have that all extra time. So actually, it suits me quite good to be a lone ranger in making music on my own terms when I have the time.
Yeah, that is a plan. You call your music 8-bit cyborg music, pure ship music. I think you a little bit explained that, but care to elaborate a bit?
Yes. Well, it's really about, for me, it's really fun to make pure ship music. So I compose everything. I start on the hardware, on the Game Boy, and I make it, I produce it in there, and then I just line it out to a recording equipment and record it. I don't, you know, extract the different channels and mix it in the computer, put in reverb and stuff like that. So it's straight out of the ship, basically.
That's the pure ship. That.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what the pure thing is about.
That is indeed cool.
Yeah, and I don't. I listen to everything. I love not raw music as well. But for me, it's really about pushing the limits of the hardware, so that becomes a challenge, you know, programming delays and trying to push the everything you can out of that small 4 megahertz CPU, I think the old DMG has, or has it two?
I'm not sure. I can't say. The C64 had 1 megahertz.
Yeah,
but it seems reasonable. I mean, back then, that's what we had.
Yeah.
Okay, so is this just a hobby, or do you ever earn anything from it?
Well, I occasionally earn something. Well, I mean, in this scene, it's not about money, and you have to love what you do, and you're a nerd, basically.
Yeah.
Playing for other nerds, and that's really, really lovely. Mm. But the scene is quite small in Sweden. And the scene is quite small everywhere, but it's existing. So I've been traveling around to the UK, to Germany, to Denmark, different sites, playing and performing. It's always nice not, you know, ending up on the minus side, you know, with travel expenses and all that. I've been blessed actually to have had that covered, with living and the traveling expenses, and usually that's what it's enough for. Sometimes, like when you do workshops together with Tekniska Museet, the Royal Technical
Museum, I guess.
Yeah, something like that. And have like several workshops and shows and that kind of thing. Then you can get a bit better paid. But on the other hand, that's more like work also.
yeah, I know. Okay, so I must ask also, how can you get a hold of your music? You're going to hear it here on this podcast, but if you want to listen to it yourself.
Yeah, well, actually it's available on most major streaming services. So just hit up Tekman, and that's spelled TEAKMANN.
It is an A there.
Tekman, yeah. TEKMANN.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to type it down. It's going to be in the notes for this podcast.
I spelled it out like on the screen here before calling you up.
All right. All right.
I've also have it available on Bandcamp, and there you can actually like buy physical CDs. You can buy T-shirts and stuff like that if you're interested in that, or want to download it as an MP3 or OVAV format. So that's always nice to have like a physical copy. I like that.
We are that generation in a way, aren't we? Hey, yeah. when did we get the vinyl?
I haven't really come to that yet, but I've had some proposals actually. But
great idea.
yeah, it's a lovely format. I only have an old, you call it like stone cake player in Swedish.
I know shellac records, but I know. Yeah,
that's what it's called.
Yeah, Sten Kåkå.
But I'm sorry to say that I don't have a vinyl player at home right now. I've had it a couple of times. But I have a couple of records anyways.
That's so cool. I mean, I have normal vinyl, but shellac, that is something really. Be careful dropping them because they are not very durable. Talking about albums, Enigma then came out in December last year. What can you tell me about the album? Is it just a collection of new tunes or some kind of concept going on?
Actually, I was kind of inspired by, you know, epic, like interstellar sound. If you've seen, you know, the latest Tron movie, with that really, those really epic tunes from Daft Punk.
Okay, I have there were many like, years since I saw that.
yeah. I don't know when it was released, but if it was like 10 years or 7 years. I'm so old now, almost 40. So
I'm 46.
The years just slip by.
Yeah, they do.
Anyways, it was like that more epic sci-fi sound that I was inspired by at the time. So I made the Enigma track, and I made the Final Frontier track, and the Trip track, and they're all like named in sci-fi names or game names, game-ish names.
So it's a bit of a concept album then.
Yeah, it's more of a concept album, and then I had this really nice ASCII. I made this nice ASCII artwork for it that I was really really happy with. So I felt like I got everything together quite nicely actually.
Yeah, great. So Enigma then from Techman out now. Bandstand or Bandcamp, right?
Yeah. Band, if you want to buy it, Bandcamp, stream away on all major streaming services.
Or listen to it here, because we're going to have some tunes here.
Yay!
Yeah. So, could you say, is your music just for retro folks, or do you think it can appeal to people that never heard this kind of music before?
Yeah, I don't have, like, a target group in mind when I make it. I just make it what I think sounds nice for the moment, and it's quite like inspired by new songs and old songs as well. Maybe not so inspired by other chiptune artists. I would say maybe more on the technical side. If you hear someone doing something technical, then you're like, hey, how did he make that?
Yeah, a little bit of demo spirit there.
Make it? Yeah. I always think live when I make my songs. It has to be fun to watch live. I want it to be quite lively. Yeah, you should be able to dance to it. I like dancing to live music. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. All right. Any cool demo parties coming up here where we can hear your work or see you dancing around, I guess?
Well, the latest, I performed at Edison demo party, her latest, and on a another party. That's not a demo party, but like an electronic music show down in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have nothing. Nothing quite now, actually. So I think we have to wait a bit more for like the corona bubble to burst, and so we can come out physically. Because I love playing live, and I love visiting other countries, and you know, hanging with the guys and the girls.
I can understand that. Well, we're hopefully gonna get out of this place, so to speak, in half a year. One can hope.
Yeah.
So it's time to lead you out with one last question. What's in the future for Techman?
Well, now I just released a new EP, so I think I'm gonna start, you know, working on another one. And I think that like the EP format is a good format for me. Like, make a couple of sounds and release them. Don't wait like too long to make an entire album, because no one is quite. You don't need that in the same way anymore. It's better for me. That's not I don't produce that many tracks a year. So releasing an EP is a really really nice format for me. So but I don't know what route I'm gonna take, if it's like more hard hitting throbbing beats, or if it's gonna be like nicer melodies, or what I'm going to do. Let's see what comes out.
Yeah. I hope you get good sales and more fans and stuff, because this this is great. I really thank you for visiting the Amiga Flashback podcast. This has been DJ Demon, and yeah, as you know, Techman here. So again, thank you very much, and good luck in the future.
Thank you. Great.
Techman's Final Frontier, also from the new album, or should I say EP, Enigma. It's now available on most streaming services or Bandcamp for a direct purchase, as are the other 10 albums he previously made. Listening to his music, well, it makes me see that the C64 wasn't the only show for making great ship tunes. You might also remember me talking about how good they can be even on limited sound hardware, like on an Atari. And the Amiga, it was a great ship tune platform as well. We're going on with the third tune from Enigma. It's called The Trip. Enigma Unraveled. Now we know all about Techman and also about his music. We have to go back a little bit in time to continue this journey. Laser Cyborg Machine is a previous extended play album. And from that, we get Laser Destroyer. It's time for the last album from Techman. It's called 8-Bit Glitch Fiend. Now try to say that 5 times fast. I dare you. And I'd really wanted to play Monkey Island Tribute, because that is a great one. But, well, copyright laws and stuff. And instead we're gonna have to go with The Hunt. But it kinda bears a quite striking resemblance to the Monkey Island Tribute. We'll be right back. if you've seen the new logotype for Amiga Flashback. It's very good looking. It's a friend of mine, an old-time friend of mine, Mattias Jadeskjöld, who created that. And it looks gorgeous, really. So you can take a look at it. And remember that Amiga Flashback will be on the air, if that's a thing you call it still, every Saturday at 9 p.m. here in Sweden, Central European time, or as a podcast if you can't wait or if you can't listen at the time. So don't miss out. We're going on with Jump On, still Techman, of course. We'll be right back. This should be quite a good little introduction into the world of chiptunes. As you know, it is not just C64s, Ataris and Amigas and, I don't know, Spectrums and stuff that can do those. Two connected Game Boys can obviously do the magic themselves. We have heard Techman talking about his work with those tunes, and leading you out into this great night is, well, the last thing we're going to play from him, Parallelo Lane. Remember that Amiga Flashback is available as a podcast wherever you find podcasts, and, of course, it's also available on the radio station, the Ericade Radio Network. You just have to wait until Saturdays at 9 p.m. This is Demon signing off. We'll be right back.
Thank you.